My name is Speak Thunder, Bruce T. Holloway Berry. My family comes from Columbia River, as most of our families do. My earliest memory, I think, was here in Warm Springs. One of the kids had made a comment on my social media, and they said that that guy is not traditional, you know, but I grew up, I received my Indian name on the Columbia River at the Rock Creek Longhouse when I was a little boy. And my Indian name is Clooney. And I got that name a little while after I could walk. So I don't know, I must have been close to two. And I remember being in the dirt floor longhouse and everything. And my grandma drove me up there. She had a big, like, white van. And I just remember looking at the river and how big it was out there by the John Day and all that. And so I got my Indian name because I never crawled anywhere. I rolled everywhere. So the name literally means dizzy, Clooney. So there's two words. There's Clooney and Clooney. Clooney would be, it literally means no hair. And then Clooney means dizzy. So I got that name because I didn't crawl. I rolled everywhere. My auntie said her dad, my grandfather, Atwai George Speak Thunder, he would say, "Come on, let's go to Byron's and go see that baby roll around." And so, yeah, that's my Indian name is Clooney, the T. Holloway name. That's a name that no one remembers the meaning of, and it actually came from Rock Creek. And then when I did a little more digging, I found out that it originated over in Priest Rapids. So I have some connection over there. I have relatives in Yakima. A lot of people know who my grandma was, my great-grandma, Annie Dick. She eventually settled on the Deschutes River here in Warm Springs, over kind of like by Whiskey Dick's, which I think might have been a relative or something. So I also, like I was going to say, my earliest memory here in Warm Springs, or just in my life, was being in the sweat lodge. My grandfather was adopted when he was about 14, and so he ended up being a ranch hand here in Warm Springs, and that's how he met my grandmother, Atwai Rose Mitchell. And so, yeah, he grew up over there, like around Rattlesnake Springs area, and that's where the sweat lodge was. And I remember, I can't remember if my dad was there because he died when I was a baby and I ended up in the foster care system, but I remember seeing my dad's little brother, Billy Joe, and I remember an old elder that got really upset when people were giggling and he would make it really hot. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of like my family background. I have so much more to say, but I'm trying to keep it short and sweet. As far as knowledge goes, I think that knowledge goes hand in hand with empathy and wisdom. You know, I think empathy is such a big thing that consistently gets overlooked by our leadership. And, you know, I feel like when we're getting ready to vote, there's a ton of empathy and they hear everything and they're all ears, you know. And then there are people that come up and say, "Hey, I'm having this really messed up problem with tribal council. It can't get resolved. I don't know what to do." And, "Oh, yeah, I'll help you out, you know. Just make sure you vote for me and we'll get it all figured out." And then they get elected and then you hear nothing. It's crickets. 3 years later, they kind of pop back in and they say the same thing, you know. So I feel like empathy is a huge factor that I bring to the table, especially since I've been back for about 3 years. I left my business in Tacoma where I was making about $120,000 a year. That was on my last tax return. And that was what I submitted on my last tax return leaving the state. And so anyways, I ended up, I was doing really good and I wanted to come home and I'm like, you know, what can I do? You know, where can I go and what could I do? I was going through, you know, like I can go anywhere kind of attitude. And I feel like I can, you know, and succeed. I ended up coming back here. And for the last 3 years, I've just been doing service work. And I actually didn't come here to run for council or any of that. I just wanted to help my people get better. you know, getting people into treatment, driving them to treatment programs, doing Celebrate Recovery. Right now I have a shuttle and I go about 5 times a day. And so, yeah, again, as far as education, I did finish high school. I went to military school. And I see that a lot of our candidates have all these qualifications, which I love, but I don't feel like any of them are bringing the empathy factor. You know what I mean? And also there's an accountability factor that is never there. So how do we hold people accountable to what their promises are? Like, there's no way to do that. So, service work. I've been doing service work since I was a young teenager, about 14 years old. I went to a summer camp, and it was called On Eagle's Wings. And we went to 16 communities, and they're all tribal communities. That's when I had a firsthand look at, like, just how similar Indians are, you know, everywhere. So, for one, we've had people on our team were from all over North America, from Canada all the way down into Mexico, and they were all natives, and they had all the same story. I grew up in an alcoholic home. I grew up in the foster care system, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, I heard all their stories, you know. And then we get on the road, and we start off in North Platte, Nebraska, and we go to Omaha, and we go to that little reservation, and then, like, I started meeting all the native kids there, and then it was the same thing. You know, they grew up in alcoholic homes. It was very troubled. They were in gangs, were in gangs or are in gangs in that time. And this was back in, like, 2003, so I was about 14 years old. I'm sorry, 2002. Anyways, I traveled to 16 communities all the way up through Pine Ridge, Rosebud, and all the way up to Red Lake, Cass Lake, Leech Lake in Minnesota. And I just started realizing, like, man, like, our people need help. Like, we need a lot of help. There's got to be a lot of changes. And as an adult and running for this position, I realized that, like, drastic change there's going to have to be drastic measures. And I don't hear any of the other candidates saying anything about how they're going to bring any drastic changes or, you know, what their plan is as far as policy amendments. I haven't heard anyone talk about amendments yet. Amendments are huge. And also, you know, our ability to protect ourselves from losing our jobs. I hear all kinds of stories about people being blackballed and blacklisted, you know, applying for jobs they qualify for and being overlooked over and over and over. You know, there's things like that, that amendments, I think, can help us change in policy that can be implemented that can protect us. You know, I feel like a lot of people are walking on eggshells out here. So basically, the experience I can bring is like mostly empathy, service work, and, you know, my ability to understand and know that, you know, things need to change big time. And a part of that is, I guess we can go on to the third question as far as that.
Yes.
So the third question, can I describe my priorities for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs? Yeah, so it just goes hand in hand with exactly what I was talking about when it comes to empathy. There's a huge factor of, you know, our people, our leadership that are not held accountable on decisions being made. One of the amendments I've called for was doing live feeds of our meetings. Now, I'm hearing a little bit of kickback, like, oh, no, we can't. There's sensitive information. And I'm like, well, sensitive to who? Sensitive to the membership? Like, the leadership doesn't want the membership to know who's voting for what. And, you know, I mean, like, when we're voting people in and you know, how do we know what they're voting for? Like, if there's infrastructure that can help us, if there's a treatment center that can help our start healing our people and getting our homeless people back on the street. Like, we don't know if people are voting against our veterans. We don't know if people are voting against, you know, like, grants that we could apply for. I mean, we have no idea. There's no accountability. So I have an entire amendment written up to hold tribal council accountable for all of the decisions they make, running a live feed. Other tribes do it already, including Pine Ridge. You can literally go on YouTube and watch all of their council meetings. Any sensitive information, I think, should still be recorded and should be given to any tribal member with an enrollment number upon request, a copy of every single sensitive type of meeting should be given to every tribal council member. Every tribal council member should have the right to record a live feed at any given moment or personal, for their own personal use, for later on when a tribal member requests it. I think that would just be a huge factor as far as accountability. I haven't heard anyone talk about accountability or how they were going to keep track of, you know, their progress. Like I said, a lot of times when our tribal council leaders get into that chair, you just hear nothing, you know. And I have an entire plan written out. I'm going to post it on my social media. I'm going to post it on speakthunderart.com. It's probably going to be speakthunderart.com/amendments or /tribal council. I'm still working that part out. First, it'll be released on social media, and then a literal breakdown of every amendment, going from protecting our rights, you know, as employees, protecting us from being blackballed, protecting us from what else did I have on here? I got some notes. There's so many. I wrote about 6 full amendments that I actually, when I posted on my social media, I'm asking for opinions. I've got a, let me see here. I have a no stone unturned policy, meaning one of the main things that I got from the people that are currently sitting in the agency's chairs, they said that, we don't have a funding for that, because I talked about Highway 26. On a slow day, we get about 12,000 vehicles coming through a day. In order to improve quality of life in Warm Springs, which is one of the biggest problems for our community, that involves like depression and drug use and boredom, quality of life. In order to improve that, we got to improve our economy. And to improve our economy, we have to take advantage of that highway. Sort of like how someone came along and said, "Hey, let's actually put the casino where the cars are going by." That was a smart move, and that's the beginning of what my plan is. And I'm calling it. Let me see. I have a name for it. So the focus is on the quality of life, beautifying the reservation, equity amongst all tribal members, an open door policy, basically meaning I want to hear what everybody has to say. And when I'm in office, I want to hear what they're going through, and I want to show them the steps how to take care of that, whether they need to bring that to our court system. And if it's that bad, we might have to step it up and bring it to a federal court system that is non-biased. And I know the process how to do that. So, also, the open door policy is there, and then the economy. So I have a plan. It's called the Path to Prosperity Plan, and that involves changing the corridor. The 45, where the reduced speed zone in Warm Springs is 45 miles an hour, and that means everyone has to slow down and look, and that's where we need to capture traffic as they're coming by. There's no reason why we can't be an economic powerhouse like we were in the early days. Warm Springs used to be the lead, the richest tribe in the United States, and now we're one of the poorest communities in the United States. And if you look at towns like Sisters and Terrebonne, Smith Rock, and I think it's called Silver Village down there by Lapine, those are economic powerhouse tourist traps. We can have designated areas. We can rezone that area to commercial. We can talk to the families who own some of that land. We can make some real serious moves. Another part of the open door policy that I have is opening the door to surrounding community members who want to make a difference in Indian country. Now, I have uncles like Atwai Foster Kalama. He was one of my mentors, and he was just an amazing guy in our community. He traveled around and played the flute and told stories about our people. He talked about how he went to other countries, and he said literally the media just followed him around everywhere just because he's native, you know. And I thought that was amazing. And other stories that I heard about natives who travel around, same thing. The media follows him around, news stations, radio stations and everything. They're following him. Paparazzi's taking pictures just because he's native going through China. You know what I mean? And it's like, so I know that we're one of the most loved people, and traveling the country on my own, working different jobs and meeting people, I'm always hearing about how we are loved. And this can be completely taken advantage of. We can have an open door policy. And I'm not afraid to say that because, you know, because we're struggling. And I believe that closed mouths don't get fed. If I'm going to speak up and I'm going to open a door and I'm going to say, hey, we need help. And is anyone out there willing to come and help us? Will somebody bring their brush hog down and help us clean up the corridor, the 45 mile per hour corridor? Let's beautify this place. Let's put flags up and down the highway representing who we are and our culture. Let's put some teepees out there. Let's rent them out. Let's, you know, let's just make some serious moves. I have a plan called the Plan to Prosperity, completely written out in detail, everything that we need, all the supplies we need, and even contracts for volunteers to sign, you know, that we're not reliable for anything missing, and even, you know, the buddy system, everyone needs to stick together. And, you know, like, I mean, there's just so many details that I've been working out. Let me see, I got the Plan of Prosperity, the No Stone Unturned, something that the leadership was telling me. They were saying, hey, we don't have no funding for any of your plans or any of your ideas. And I'm like, okay, for one, we're one of the most loved people in the world. We can reach out and we can get free labor. We can get free labor. Even our own tribal membership would be happy to come down and help us clear out dead woods and thickets and bushes and, you know, plant low maintenance grass. Like, we can make this place look nice with that kind of manpower. And not only that, we could look up more grants. I mean, so each department has a certain amount of grants that they're required to apply for. And if they don't meet that requirement, there's a meeting of people who are above them that say, hey, you didn't meet our requirements for how much we're trying to get in these grants, and before their fiscal year ended, and, you know, we're going to fire you. I've seen it. I've watched it happen when I was volunteering for a nonprofit here. So with that being said, I feel like we can just keep digging and looking in every direction and not just sitting in our chair and our council chair saying, oh, no funding. And another part of that, we have to look at where our funding is coming from, how much money is coming in from grants and what it's supposed to be spent on, and how much of that money is being spent where it shouldn't be spent on. I'm hearing rumors about cards that have an endless limit that are just being recklessly spent and being passed around. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. But my goal is to find out. When I get into council, I want to know what's happening and what's going on. Why don't we have funding for certain things? Is there, our money being recklessly spent? No one knows. No one has no idea. And that's a part of the amendment that we have to put up that says, hey, we're gonna make our council meetings live so that our elders can see. And that's a thing. I stand in solidarity with a lot of our elders, because they were all coming up at the nomination and they were all saying the same thing. We don't know what's going on. You know, we're voting you in. What are you even doing in there? And I feel like some of those questions and comments were kind of just deflected. Oh, I did a lot. We did so much. We accomplished a lot. And everyone's kind of nodding their head in agreement. But there's no absolutely no explanation. There's no plan written out. There's no public forum. There's not a public notice put up anywhere, like for example, in the lobby down at the administration or at the post office or at Warm Springs Market. Like, easily a plan could be printed out and posted, and progress can be dropped in weekly or monthly or even quarterly. And I feel like, like I said, there's no transparency. I need to look at my notes. But yeah, I'm going off today. I'm trying to cover everything on my notes. But the main thing is accountability. Accountability is huge. And keep giving updates. I have more amendments I'll talk about more on my social media on Speak Thunder, T. Barry. And I would love to hear more from other people. I would love to hear feedback about what kind of amendments can improve our tribe. And if there's anything else we need to cover, I'll be happy to answer any questions.